In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. My youngest son, Arthur, started walking this week. Oh, thank you. I take full credit. He's been cruising around from couch to chair to table and back and forth now, and he's nefariously good at climbing up on things at this point. But this was the first time this week that he willingly let go of my hand as I walked alongside him and took off on his own. In a couple of weeks, we're going to have 13 kids from St. John's graduate from high school. And in my mind, I can't help but zoom from Arthur's first few steps away from me to that moment in 18 years when, God willing, he will walk right across that stage, pick up his diploma, and continue walking right on into a life away from home, with some, but not much, need of me walking by his side to make sure he doesn't fall. Of course, my reaction to Arthur's first independent steps in the moment was one of exultation, not melancholy. We were clapping and cheering for him and picking him up and giving him kisses of celebration. But within those moments of joy, there existed also that pang of sadness, a little bit of loss. For I realized that in those first few wobbly steps was the truth that parenting is one long process of separation. A series of important and good milestones that punctuate a child's gradual transition to independence as they leave their parents behind. We have a group for parents of young children that meets once a month here at St. John's, and if you happen to have a child who's elementary school age or lower, you're welcome to join us. We meet on the first Friday of the month at 9 o'clock, and childcare is provided. And our conversations, jovial and engaging as they always are, often circle back to this realization that being a parent is to be on an endless... There's a lot of things that being a parent is, but one of the things is to be on an endless emotional roller coaster of celebration and separation. That's one of the reasons it's so exhausting. Birth is a separation. First steps, first day of school, learning to drive, going to college, getting a job, getting married, getting a house. These are all good, important, healthy transitions that are the cause for much celebration and joy, but also more than a little heartbreak. Having to endure this emotional roller coaster on a regular basis may be part of the reason we have days like Mother's Day, which is today, in case you didn't know. Mother's Day in the United States was begun by a woman named Ann Jarvis in 1868, and it was meant to be a time to reunite families that had been divided by the Civil War. Talk about painful separations of parenting. Now, Ann Jarvis's celebration didn't actually really catch on until her daughter, Anna, in a fitting tribute to her mother, took up the cause and in the early 20th century made the holiday a national observance. I found it interesting to read that Mother's Day has become one of the top days for church attendance after Christmas and Easter, in some places and here. And, ironically, it is also one of the most commercially lucrative holidays for shop owners and florists. In fact, Mother's Day quickly became so commercialized that Anna Jarvis, its founder, spent the last years of her life saying she wished she had never started the holiday because of what it had turned into. A creation of yours going out into the world, out of your control, and frustrating you to no end. Sounds like motherhood. Now, even though it is celebrated across the world at this point, we should remember, and we are good to remember, that Mother's Day is not a day of celebration and joy for everyone. Some have suffered great pain in regards to motherhood, whether in trying to become a mother and not being able to, having a difficult relationship with their mother, losing their mother, losing a child, or not wanting to be a mother and feeling judged for that decision. For those of you who fall into any of those categories, I hope that you find the church a place where we can hold both the joy and the sadness that may be found in this day, where we can rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Being a mother is hard. Not being a mother is hard. Having a mother is hard. And not having a mother is hard too. There's nothing easy about motherhood in concept or in practice. But there are also great reasons to celebrate motherhood and mothering at least one day a year, and chief among them, in my opinion, is for their enduring that lifelong cycle of joy and heartbreak that is their fate the moment a baby is born. And so on this Sunday that we celebrate mothers and we reflect on the roller coaster of celebration and separation that is the reality of parenting, from first steps to packing for college, it is appropriate that today is also one of celebration and separation, a day of mixed emotions in the church. On Thursday of this past week, we celebrated the feast of Jesus' ascension into heaven. The time had come for his resurrected presence to settle into its rightful place at the right hand of God. It's a big homecoming for him, and the disciples rejoice, for they get to bid him farewell, not in shame and dishonor, as they did at the crucifixion, but in triumph and great glory. It's a joyous feast day. But Jesus' ascension is also a separation, a departure from being with his disciples on earth. He is no longer with them. Peter and the gang now have to transition from being followers to being leaders. Now, to be fair, Jesus does not leave them comfortless. He promises to send them the Holy Spirit to guide and embolden and show them the way forward. But the truth is that Jesus is no longer with them in the same way he was before, and I bet that that tempers their excitement and joy with some sadness and plenty of confusion about what lies ahead. Excitement, joy, sadness, confusion. Sounds like motherhood. But also sounds like any moment in our lives that is one of transition. Whether we are mothers or not, it can be hard to live in this swirling sea of emotion as life passes through its inevitable evolutions. Whether that's as a parent, or a child, or an aunt, or an uncle, or a friend. It can be hard to know how to proceed when things are changing dramatically and rapidly all around you. Which is why I think our gospel passage is an important reminder to us when we find our lives turned upside down by the unavoidable cycle of celebration and separation that is our life. For what did Jesus do when he found himself in this same place, this time of transition, preparing to leave his disciples and sending them out into the world? He prayed for them. To a world that prizes action and activity, that might sound like kind of a lame response, even coming from Jesus. I mean, you might expect a miracle worker, the Son of God, to be able to conjure up something better than a prayer as a parting gift. But Jesus knew that prayer is what we always have when we have nothing else, when all else is out of our control. That's why it was the climax of his farewell to his disciples, because it actually is the most powerful and constant thing that we can do for people. Prayer is the recognition that even though someone is not or no longer fully in your care, they are still in God's care. You may not be able to walk by their side anymore, but he can. And it is a recognition that those who you raise up or those whom you love, even if they are bone of your bone and flesh of your flesh, never fully belonged to you. But they always belong to God. And they still do. When we pray for people, be they children or others, we are turning them over, or better yet, returning them to the power from which they came. We are committing them to a care from which they can never wander, no matter how hard they try. And we entrust them to the only person that can actually protect them as they walk through this life. So Jesus prays, "Father, I am asking on behalf of those whom you gave me because they are yours. All mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I have been glorified in them. Holy Father, protect them in your name that you have given me. While I was with them, I protected them in your name that you have given me. I guarded them, and not one of them was lost. But now I am coming to you, and I speak these things in the world so that they may have my joy made complete in themselves. I'm not asking you to take them out of the world, but I ask you to protect them from the evil one. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. As you have sent me into the world, so I send them into the world." Or in other words, protect them, Lord, because I can't anymore. I have to entrust them to your care because I can't be with them every step of the way, but you can. They have always been yours. But I did my best while they were under my care to guard them, teach them, love them. You don't have to remove them from the ups and downs of life. Just protect them. Let them know that you are with them, and let them know how loved they are by you, by me, by so many. Now, I know that prayer is not going to get a baby to sleep through the night or eat all their vegetables. Believe me, I've tried. But it will help us weather the endless and exhausting cycle of separation and celebration that is the fate of parents and mothers of all of us who love in this life. For it reminds us that even separations from one another are not separations from God. While sad, separation is necessary and important, both for the empowerment of the disciples to go forth and spread the good news of Jesus and start the church, and for the empowerment of our children and others to go forth and blossom into the tremendous human beings God made them to be and we nurtured them to be. And we should rejoice wholeheartedly in that. But boy, is it hard sometimes. I'm thrilled that Arthur is learning to walk, and it makes me more than a little sad. I'm thrilled that so many of our young people are going on to bright and promising futures, but I'm going to miss them. The disciples knew that same mix of emotions as they sat there between Ascension Day and Pentecost, where we sit today. And so did Jesus, as he prepared to send them out into the world without him. And in those moments, he was left where we are left, with a hope and a prayer, which is really all that we needed to begin with.